This is Brian Kaplowitz, and our guest today is Tina Hallis. Tina is a PhD in chemistry and a biochemist by training. Tina has transitioned from speaking about biotechnology to positive psychology, and she speaks to groups about organizational culture and improving the lives of individuals within an organization. It's great to have you with us, Tina. Thanks for being on the call.
Thanks, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit more about what positive psychology is and exactly how you're using it in your consulting and speaking practice.
Yeah, so I discovered positive psychology a few years ago, and as a scientist, I was excited because, to me, here was a science that was focused on how can we all live our best life? How can we find more meaning, more happiness, more fulfillment? So it was actual information I could use to make my life better, and I was excited because it was information I could share and help others. And to me, you know, I've been in a variety of different work situations from, you know, small startup biotech type cultures to large corporations, R&D operations. And if there's one place where, you know, we could use this kind of information, it's at work to help us stay more positive, to help us focus on the good stuff around us and in our work, to find more meaning so we can enjoy work more. And the great part is that then organizations are also more successful.
So with a background in chemistry and biochemistry, how did you transition into psychology or the psychological aspects of this?
It was interesting. I was actually at a continuing education course on creating a culture of innovation when at the back of the room they had more books to learn about, you know, culture. And there was books on positive psychology. As I picked them up and started scrolling and, you know, paging through them, I realized, wow, this is, a lot of this stuff is stuff I already try to live by, and it's stuff that now the science is basically catching up, and they're providing data and research to say that, you know, information that our moms and our grandmothers shared with us about living a better life and enjoying the moment and focusing on the good, there's science behind it now that says, yes, this actually makes life better, makes you more creative, makes you more productive, makes you a lot nicer to work with.
So as a scientist, the science aspect of this really, really calls to you.
Right, because I think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are, how should I say, they're will look down on things that seem too fluffy, too intangible. And yet here now with the science and data coming out behind this, I think it will appeal to those types of people and hopefully convince them that these practices and strategies really can make a difference, not only in their life, but, you know, in the lives of the people in their organization, that it can make a better culture, can make organizations more successful, that it's a win-win situation.
So give me an idea of what your ideal audience would look like.
My ideal audience are people who are already somewhat forward-thinking. They're somewhat open-minded. They're interested in learning and broadening their personal development. And so if they're at an organization, pretty much any industry, but they are ready for a change, maybe their organization has gone through reorgs or mergers or acquisitions. Maybe it's an industry where, like so many industries, we keep getting asked to do more and more with less. And there's just a lot of stress and overwhelm. And they're looking for a better way. It's like there has to be a better way to be at work, to have that kind of more positive work experience, because we spend so much of our time at work. So an audience where they are ready for a change, they're looking for a different approach, a different strategy.
So are you focused more on the corporate culture, or the organizational culture, or change in business practices, or is there some other aspect of this that I'm missing?
Right, that's a great question. So one of the things I talk about is that when it comes to, let's just say, employee performance, I think of it as falling into three buckets. There's the employee and their attitude that they bring. There's their manager and what kind of a work situation they create for the employee, whether they're encouraging and, you know, have the best interest of the employee at heart. And then there's sort of the bigger overall company with the policies, the procedures, the programs that are sort of what the people have to live within in order to get their work done. And each of those has a role to play in the culture, in the performance of that employee. What I focus on is really helping people understand that there are tools and strategies that they can use as the employee, as the manager, as the leader, that helps them shift their mindset so that it's easier to bring their best to work. So it's easier to have that good attitude, to be the good manager, and to be the leader who can see what are the right programs and policies to put in place. So it's kind of that foundation for all three to say, okay, when you can bring your best to work because you are feeling, you know, having a higher quality of life and feeling better about your own life, then you have the capacity to make better decisions, to have that better attitude, and to be that more motivational, more inspiring leader and manager.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of crossover. You're working more on the personal relationship side of things in the corporate culture, but along with that is the ability for change to come across in the way that business is performed, in the way that they structure their business, and the way that they may change their marketing program or their sales process or anything like that.
Right. It's really kind of shifting. What do you focus on? Are you focused on, it's just so much overwhelm. There's just so much to get done. And you're in this mode with your head down and you're just, you know, living from sort of fire to try to make it through the day. Or can you step back and see the bigger picture and say, okay, I don't have to have this attitude. I don't have to have this focus. There is another way to see things. We are actually programmed. Our brains are programmed to focus on the negative, to see and anticipate the worst. And that's how we end up living our lives. That's how we see reality. That's how we see our job. But when we can reframe that and sort of change that focus and that programming, then suddenly there's more options. There's more ways of approaching problems. There's many more opportunities.
Do you have an example of how we're trained to see the worst?
This is so interesting. When I learned about this, I thought, wow, this is so fascinating. I try to share it in every one of my talks because I think when people understand this, it really helps. So our brains are wired to keep us safe. It's been really important for our survival through, you know, thousands and thousands of years that, you know, we had to anticipate what are the dangers. We had to remember, you know, the things that could go wrong. So that our brain became, you know, that instinctive, primitive part of our brain is programmed to be constantly scanning around us for the danger. And an example I think that most people can relate to is when you're driving on the freeway, do you notice all the good drivers? Probably not. But if there's a driver who's swerving or crossing that line, people are focused on that, right? You notice that person right away and you're making a plan. How can I stay away from them? How can I keep myself safe? And so throughout these, you know, this evolution and our survival, our brains have remained focused on what are the dangers? What do I need to worry about? And yet, even though, you know, our life expectancy is much longer these days and we have fewer life and death encounters on a daily basis, the evolution of our brain has not caught up. We are still programmed to naturally focus on all the bad stuff. But the great thing is we have more than just our primitive brain. We have additional capacities that have evolved where we can choose and intentionally and purposely retrain the way we think, shift our focus so that we can expand and have a much better balance between the good and the bad that we notice and pay attention to. Now, it takes effort. It's not like you just flip a switch. But the great thing is that the positive psychology studies are showing what techniques work most often, you know, what's some of the best approaches to do this. And it's having a big impact on people and the quality of their lives.
So in preparing for this interview, I see that you have a program called The Surprising Truth About Goals and Willpower. And it sounds like there's a little bit of what you're talking about right now and in developing goals and willpower and kind of staying focused on the right kinds of things. Is that right? And you know, tell me a little bit more about that program and how positive psychology ties into that and what you're talking about right now.
Yes, you're right. You can sort of see a natural tie-in here that when we are focused on all the bad stuff, it's hard to stay upbeat about our goals. It's not a linear process with goals, right? There are days when it's harder. There are days when things go wrong, you don't feel well, and then it's easy to give up. You know, it's like, oh, I just can't do this. We get down on ourselves. But when we can find strategies and practices that help us be more upbeat, be more confident, have more self-esteem, that helps us with our goals. A couple other interesting facts around achieving goals is that a lot of times we pick goals that we think we should do because, well, society says that we should lose weight or our friends say that we should, you know, exercise more or eat this way. And yet if it's not something that is truly important to us, that we are passionate about, that we care about, we're really not going to have the energy or the motivation to follow through. So there's sort of this process of peeling back the onion, I guess, as they say, of why did you choose this goal? Why is this goal important to you? And you keep asking why until you get to that point where you feel it emotionally. Yes, this is truly something that is important to me. And when you can dig deep like that and find that true meaning and purpose behind why you're trying to make this change, why you have this goal, then you can keep that in mind and you can focus on that positive piece of that goal and help you remind yourself of why you're doing this and why it's important.
Do you have any examples of some people or somebody who has used what you've told them and actually used that to stay motivated and stay on track with their goals?
For goals specifically, I've had one person I've had the opportunity to, you know, come back in contact with a year after I've talked to them about the positive psychology and related to goals. And it was interesting because when I first met them, they were a strong arguer against this whole idea of trying to help focus and be positive. And yet a year later, they said, you know, that information that you shared totally changed my life. And I set a goal to be more positive. And I took action on those strategies that you shared. And he said, you know, today, he goes, I am a different person. He goes, I make a choice every morning when I get up to enjoy my day and to find good things. And really, that was his goal, was to change his life. He was, let's just say, an extremely negative person. I was really surprised he came to the talk in the first place. And yet, a year later, he's just so thankful. So, you know, even times when I feel like, okay, this person is just not ready for this information, it really made a difference for him. And so that's always so exciting to hear about.
Very nice to hear when you're making a change with somebody. And that's a big reason why a lot of people become speakers, is to promote change.
Exactly.
So tell me about some of the other programs that you have that generate the most interest.
So there's a program I've entitled Finding Sanity in Ambiguity and Uncertainty. And I think people relate to this because, you know, especially at the workplace today, right, there's just so much uncertainty, you know, compared to our parents' generation when they got a job and they just knew that's where they would be. I mean, everything changes constantly today. If it's not the way it's organized, I think I was at a company for 11 years and it had four different names and went through two mergers and one acquisition. And then eventually they were having layoffs and I was part of the layoff. Then I had this great opportunity to experience uncertainty and ambiguity as I'm trying to figure out, okay, you know, what happens next? And so people are constantly going through change nowadays. And if it's not in their job, technology is changing so fast, economics are changing so fast. So how to find that sanity? And again, it comes back to the real foundation of this program really comes back to, again, what are you focused on? Because, you know, the next day, the next year is going to go by no matter what. So you can spend that time worrying, being anxious, you know, wondering what if this happens? What if I get laid off? What if, you know, my company goes under? Or you can spend that time looking around and finding the good, the positive in your work, in your life, and saying, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next year. And worrying about it is not going to change that. So I can choose to focus on things I can enjoy and have more peace and calm and sanity in my life. Because, again, we are programmed to worry. We're programmed to anticipate the worst. And that is our default. That is our reaction. But, again, we can choose to respond and find a different way. And, of course, then you can imagine a year of worrying and anxiety and wondering what if versus a year of just saying, okay, whatever happens, I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to enjoy this year.
And are you available anywhere in the country? Do you like to travel?
Yes, I'm available anywhere in the country. I travel out of Madison, Wisconsin, so it's somewhat centrally located. And, fortunately for me, there's a lot of conventions, conferences that happen in Chicago and Minneapolis and Milwaukee, so it's a good location.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Before I let you go, is there anything that you'd like to wrap up with?
You know, there's a piece of data that, again, I think is really important to understand, and this comes from the Gallup Institute, where every, I think, couple of years they do a survey. And the 2013 data came back, and they estimate that negativity in the workplace is costing U.S. companies $500 billion every year. And so even for small companies, if you narrow it that down, you know, per employee, this negativity, this default response, this bias is hurting a company's performance, their bottom line. And so when you invest in your employees, I mean, you expect them to bring their best every day, but when you help them, give them the tools so that it makes it easier for them, you are actually, you know, improving your bottom line at the same time.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, Tina, and hopefully people will be looking for you on Speaker Match.
Great. Thanks so much.